Hey, this past week, I don't know about you, maybe you missed the last, you know, you're here this morning, that's great. I know there's just been a lot of illnesses going around, and last week, I was so sick after the fall carnival, I really shouldn't have been there, but I was like, this the fall carnival, it's the kids, you know, and be there, and by the end of it, I had no voice. And I looked at Pastor Ben, and I said, Ben, I know you missed a couple weeks ago, but I need you to minister on Sunday. And so, you know, I missed the Bible study Sunday morning. I missed the sermon. I didn't preach last week. We even had communion lined up and then meet the pastors. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. If you're new to our church and I was supposed to meet you, meet the pastors, and I didn't make it, I feel it was meet the pastor. It wasn't pastors because I wasn't there. It was terrible. So Ben, I would usually say thank you and speak about your message a little bit, but thank you just for taking all that weight off my shoulders. I honestly felt so at peace at home. I wasn't stressed out like, oh my gosh, the whole thing's going to come apart at the seams. I was like, man, we got some solid people in this church. And I felt super confident to just lay around and grovel on my, you know, take a day off. And it's near the end of the year. I had all those, you know, in lieu of days I had to use up, right? Where is this message going this morning? Okay, let me get to the message though. Okay, so prior to that, I was supposed to speak something similar to that last week, this message I'm about to share with you, because Ben and I, a bunch of us, were down at a district conference in Abbotsford, so all the POC pastors from all the way from Yukon and all the way from Lower Mainland get together. So hundreds of pastors get together, and we were able to bring this year. Most of us know this, in case you don't. We run a school of ministry here. So there's about 5 students right now going through some theological, biblical studies. And we were able to bring 3 of the students with us. So Chris is at the background, the camera. He came along for the ride. We've got a guy, Marcos, who lived in Kitimat, quit his job, moved to Terrace just so he could take the courses. So Marcos was there. And then Rachel was there as well. So that was a lot of fun. So we rented a minivan. And so we're on the way to the conference. And I don't know if you've attended conferences or different things where you're like, it is a ton of information, like a fire hose in like, you know, 36 or 48 hours. And so you try and retain something. So I just encouraged them. I said, hey, when you're sitting in a session or even like this morning in a workshop, like there'll be one thing that God wants to teach you. And so in the very first session, a guy started speaking and he made one point. And my mind just started going. And I basically wrote most of the sermon, just sitting in a service. I don't know what else he said, but whatever spoke to me led me down this rabbit trail of information. So I wanted to share that with you. So what a blessing that was to be together down south. So he read, and I want to read the scripture to you, and then I want to kind of go in a different direction. We're in the book of Ezekiel. We're back in the Old Testament. We're, you know, almost center of your Bible there, Ezekiel. Now, chapter 37 is where we'll begin this morning. So in verse 1, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you know alone. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make the flesh upon you, come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, O son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come out of the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet in a vast army. So, again, he went off in a bit of a teaching about just, you know, things coming together in order. You know, you wouldn't have the bones come together where, you know, like your leg is like here, so you can like kind of kick soccer balls or something. Like, it would just be out of order. Like, things had to be in order for the tendons and the skin to make basically a human being. So where it got me thinking, though, was alignment. Are we aligned is our lives aligned to the Word of God? And I want to share just some context here of what this story and where this lands in Scripture. So as he is prophesying that, it's really reflecting on chapter 36. He's saying the fulfillment of this will happen is that these people were in captivity and they were scattered all around and it was like they were dead. The bones were dead. And God says, I'm going to bring them back together. I'm going to regather them in my homeland. It's like a vision that actually hasn't been fulfilled yet because God's going to gather all of his people and Jesus is going to be the Lord. He's going to be the leader. And so this is what will happen one day. And so as he's teaching this, as he's reading this, the bones responded because at this point, Ezekiel is like a prophet of the day. He's speaking to people on behalf of the Lord. And it's like he's speaking to dead bones. He's saying, the people aren't responding to my message. And God is saying, speak to those bones again. Prophesy. They will come to life. And I think in our world today, we'd say, hey, there's some areas of life that are just dead. There's some nations that are dead. And when God gathers us together, he will breathe the life of his Spirit into us. He'll breathe the Holy Spirit. We will come to life. And so, again, these bones represented the condition of people. And I think that sometimes we would say every church has a history, a season of time when it was dead. I've actually gone on vacation and gone into a church and we leave the church service and my kids say to me, that felt different, Dad, because I think there was a time when they just weren't aligned with the Word of God and something was going wrong. But then they got refocused and God was saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to make it right again. I'm going to bring new life to a dead situation. Oh, please, in Jesus' name, don't feel like I'm saying that to our church or to any church in this community. I'm just making a point here. This is what it's speaking about, is that he wants to bring life to dead things, dead areas. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? That will happen one day because we all look around and we go, "This, it's out of control. It looks dead out there. Where is God in all of this?" And God is saying, there will be a day when I will show up and I will gather my people and it will come back to life. It will be full of God's Spirit. And we can kind of sense that at times, can't we? There's some services you honestly come here, I don't know if you take too much away, and that's okay. But then sometimes you come here and the hairs in the back of your neck stand up. Whoa, the presence of God is here. But even before the music starts, even before the message starts, you just feel it. You're thinking, whoa. It just, God is at work, and that's when we're in line with him, when we line up with his word. I think in life, we can sometimes have the word of God. We say, okay, I'm going to follow this thing 100%. I'm just going to give her, and we're right in line with it. And then situations in our life happen, and we're out of line, and God is still at work, and there's still a blessing, there's still good things happening, but we're kind of off kilter a bit. God didn't change. God's Spirit is still here. His presence is still here. It's that we are just a bit out of attunement or a bit out of alignment with that. So that's kind of my thought here today is about aligning our lives with God. You may have had this happen or you know somebody that's happened this or it's happened to or you've had to help them through this. You throw your back out. I've done this a few times in life where your discs are out of alignment. Oh my gosh, the nerves that you experience or the pain that you feel, you're in bed, you're like, I have to go to the washroom. You're like, I don't even care. I don't want to go to the washroom. Because to just get out of bed, oh my word, I'm going to die. And you're like going along the wall just to get to the washroom, you know? Have you ever experienced that? It is over. It consumes all of you. So much so that you can't focus on anything else. You're probably actually not praying. The thoughts in your head are probably not wonderful. You're not feeling super like excited about, you know, saying something positive. You're out of control because your body is out of alignment. And it's the same with our relationship with God. When we're out of alignment with things in our lives, we lose perspective of who God is. We forget the goodness of God. We forget how wonderful it is that he saved us from the pit of hell and set us on a firm foundation. We lose focus of that so easily when things are difficult and pains are in our life. I want to look at three different scriptures of three different pains that we can experience. Oh, we've got to learn something through that. Because as we experience pain, what is it pointing us towards? When worry comes our way, how do we respond to that? Because we can respond well and be in alignment, or we could completely miss it. And how can we learn that? There's a principle here that we've got to be able to take away. So let's flip to the New Testament. Matthew chapter. Well, that's way past Matthew. Yeah, Matthew chapter 6. So Matthew chapter 6, we'll start in verse 25. The subheading in most Bibles will say something towards worry. Don't worry. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store anything in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He takes care of them. Are you not much more valuable than that? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his day? Worry is like this. I just read this nice quote. It says this. It says, worry often gives a small thing a big old shadow. Something so tiny in our lives becomes so just a giant mountain, and we lose perspective of it so easily. And we should give careful thought to, I do, food. Man, I made some chocolate mousse the other day. It was lights out. And it was just like, the taste buds just came alive. I care about what I eat. My wife really cares about how I dress. It's very important. You know, put on that shirt, button that top button up. You know, look together, get that thing. You know, I don't know why the thing, it's supposed to wear my button way up here. I'm like, no, put it down there. It looks crazy. You know, all these kind of things that we actually spend a lot of time with. Now, we should care about what we wear, please, this morning. You know, put something nice on at least. Brush your teeth for crying out loud. Eat some food so you're not all, you know, daisy or, you know, do those kind of things. But that's not what it's teaching us. What is this trying to teach us? This is what it's trying to teach us. If worrying becomes our reality, we are out of alignment with God's word. And ultimately, it takes us away from more productive thoughts and uses of our time. God is also reminding us that we must take careful thought of these simple matters, these elementary ABCs of life, like waking up, putting clothes on, putting food on. If that's the kind of stuff that worries us, I'm afraid to leave your house. Don't pick up the phone. Don't check your email, because the rest of the world is going to freak you out if you can't even figure out how to eat and put clothes on. If that's what worries you, we're not set up. We're not ready to face the world. We're completely out of alignment. So he's not talking about the food. This is so important so that we can develop good thought process and good habits, so when the big things come, we know where to go. When we're in alignment with the Lord, food and, you know, roof overhead, we don't worry about that. We take it serious, but we don't worry. That doesn't stress us out. And we create healthy habits so that those little things that do kind of worry us, we know where to go. We know where the answer is. So when it becomes difficult, we don't run. When it hits the fan, we don't check out. We don't let worry just, you know, totally burden us, take us right off course. All this worry came, we're out of the church, we don't care about God. Like, who is God? How can I trust this guy? Have we developed a trusting habit, a trusting relationship with him, with the small things first? I think that's the principle that we've got to really understand. Can I trust God? Because at some point, it does get difficult. There are times in my life, I got a couple photos here, hopefully. I think I'll talk about those in a moment. I apologize, there was another story before that photo. So when we were in Whitehorse, Yukon for 16 whole years, me and my wife, Almy, and our kids, when I came on staff of the church there as an associate pastor, and after 10 years, I was just sitting with this person again and again and again, and he was telling me stories about what the church used to be like before I even got there. I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. But he was so hung up on that, it bothered him so much that it was like he was reliving it, and it was 10 or more years ago. I said, that thing is hanging you up. You got to let that go. Look, you're even emotional right now. I didn't know what you're talking about. I wasn't even here when those people were here. They're just stuck. He's out of alignment because he didn't release it. He didn't let that go. I think there's things that we just hang on to. Why do we hang on to those? Why do we allow them? Everybody else in life has moved on from whatever that was. We hang on to these things like it's our little baby. We got to hold on to it. Don't let it go. Got to let those go. That's out of alignment with God's word. That kind of stress and anxiety we don't need in our lives. It'll cause physical things in us to manifest itself. let's kind of finish the story. Kind of continue to read on here in verse 28. And why do you worry about your clothes? See that the lilies of the field grow. Don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Solomon, Old Testament, he just had everything you can think of. If that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, he will not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith. Ah, man, I'm guilty of that. Little faith sometimes. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. But seek first his kingdom. What should we do when we're stressed and we're worried? We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. You'll have all of those things that you need to take care of you. Seek first God. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough worry about itself, because today has enough worry about it. You know, we worry about today, and we worry about what will happen tomorrow, and we worry about, well, maybe the end is coming really soon, and there's a silly quote I just, for fun here, just this morning. Don't worry about the world coming to an end today, because it's already tomorrow in Australia. The world keeps spinning. It's going to keep going. You're okay. We're all going to be okay. So every worry and fear and disappointment, any kind of intimidation, stress, or anxiety that we face is an opportunity for us to get back in alignment with our God. Some of us here today might even be like, I've never actually aligned my life with God. I've never given my life to Jesus. Some of us might be here today like, I know the Lord, but I know that there's been things that have really sidelined me. I've been totally distracted. I haven't focused on the Lord. It's just been stress after worry. And some of us are like at a place where you're like, I'm growing in the Lord. And I hear what you're saying, Pastor. And so I just want to get a little bit closer to the Lord. I just want to pause right now. You know, at the end of the message, I have a little bit of prayer time. I would just do it right now. I feel like there's somebody here for sure. You don't even know Jesus. You need to give your life to Jesus. Let's just start there. I'm going to pray for you just in a second. We're going to pray a salvation prayer. And then some of us need to get back to the Lord. We need to let some things go. Some things have been dragging you around. We don't wait till the new year to do a New Year's resolution. I'm talking like right now. Like you are out of alignment. Something's out of line. You know it. Holy Spirit's already revealed it to you before I even started talking. You know where that is. It's just one thing. It's not multiple things. God doesn't stress you out and kind of burden you. It's just one simple thing. You're like, I need to give that up to the Lord. So as I'm praying, I want those that need to receive Jesus to just, you can pray it, you know, together with me out loud. You can pray it in your mind. That's cool. As I'm praying that, I want to encourage you that know the Lord. Just recommit. Say, God, I'm so sorry. I've kind of been hanging on to that thing. It's been dragging around with me. I just need to let it go. I'm out of alignment. And so let me just pray for that right now. So just let's just bow our heads just so we're not distracted. So first of all, Father, for those in the room that don't know you, I pray, oh God, that they would receive you wholeheartedly today. That they would say, you know, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am out of alignment with your word. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Lord, I confess and I repent that I've done wrong. Would you please move into my heart? Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, so that I may walk in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, I've walked in my own ways and my own will long enough. I want to walk in obedience to Christ. So thank you for hearing my prayer this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And again, for those that just needed to get back into alignment, hey, there's things that happen in it's just reality. Get out of alignment. Let me share kind of this idea with you is that when we're out of alignment with our emotions, the only way back is just to confess and repent and to give it to him. Otherwise, it will be a very difficult road. Let's look at the Old Testament again. Just a couple more scriptures here. The book of Isaiah. Some in the Old Testament again. We got Ezekiel, Jeremiah. There we go, Isaiah 41. In Isaiah 41, it says, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I've chosen you, and I have not rejected you. So don't fear, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't come into disappointment or discouragement, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. See, to sit and to dwell in fear is out of alignment. And so what do we do with that? What do we do with all of our fears and our anxieties? Oh, come on, please, Lord Jesus, write this down. Get your book out. Get your notebook. Get that Bible out. Mark it all up. Here we go. Psalm 118. Let's go back there. So who's a character in the Bible that I can connect with? I can connect with Jesus. I get that. But there's a character in the Bible in the Old Testament, David. He was under a lot of stress and fear and worry. He made some foolish decisions, and some people were not happy with him. And so what can we do? How do we face our fears? Here's an answer, one of the answers. Psalm 118, verses 5, 6, and 7. In my anguish, in my fear, in my worry, in my anxiety, I cried out to the Lord. Good thing to do. And he answered by, what does it say in your Bible? He answered by setting me free. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You need freedom. You need to be set free. And so how do we do that? In my anguish, you put any word you want in there, anxiety, fear, worry, and all this stuff going on, I cried out to the Lord like we had just read about before. We turn to God. We line up with God's word, and he answered. He hears you. And he'll set you free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. I'll look to my situations and I will say, I have freedom in Jesus' name. I have authority in Jesus' name. I will not carry this burden anymore in Jesus' name. Isn't that just a wonderful thing? Simple. So when all of these things that we face in life, that every human being faces in life, just because you got a Jesus bumper sticker doesn't mean like life is perfect now. All it means is that you actually have an answer. You have a way to face fear, to face worry. Bring it back to him. He sets you free. Non-Christians don't have that choice. 23 years of my life, I didn't have that choice. I had the choice. I just never chose it. I was in fear, I was in worry, I was stressed all the time. Now I'm not. It's really that simple. It's not complicated. I love stories, as you might notice over the years, you know. So I was only part of two churches. When I was in Whitehorse again, we bought a school bus and we drove it from Whitehorse a May long weekend down to Vancouver. And those of us that are in the north, we know that May long weekend is not spring and summertime. Here's a picture of us on our way down the May long weekend. You know, you show up in Abbotsford in Vancouver and all these youth, like, oh, praise God, they're on their shorts. And we're all just like, we left there with our toques and our mitts on. We were just freezing. It was minus 35 out. And so this is actually a nice day. I can see the highway. That was a good day. Show me the next slide here. This is when it becomes so chaotic. Like there's chunks of ice on my windshield wiper that the plow truck is broken down. You can't even see. I mean, the sun was out at that point, but there's times when it's so dark out, you're in the middle of nowhere, no plow truck. There's 40 screaming yahoos in the bus. You can't just pull over. You're like, oh, I'll just wait it out. Like you have to keep going. There's nowhere to pull over. You just keep going. And we found out that high beams, you know, the regular high beams that are kind of yellowy, they're terrible. It looks like you're in like one of those Star Trek shows. You can't see nothing. So we realized later on, you know, blue or silver light high beams are actually really helpful. You can see past that. But we didn't have that on at that point. I'm driving along. It's so bad. I'm like, oh my gosh, we still have like 100K. I'm like, just keep it down, Pastor. You know, I've got a 2x4. I put my hand out the window, freezing, smashing the windshield wiper to get the ice off because I couldn't stop the bus every time, jump out, you know. And then come back in. So we're just honking. And it was crazy. I was like, I don't even know where the road is. I'm like, there's white stuff. Just keep going. Then eventually I saw a white line on the, oh, praise God. Thank you. Answer the prayer. Follow the white line. Because, you know, when you're driving, there's a yellow line. And there's this white line. So I can see the white line. This is great. And then you realize, okay, why is there a barrier, like a guardrail on that side of, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Your mind has a moment of like, it needs to kind of comprehend what you're seeing. You're only going 20 or 30, so you got lots of time. You realize, I'm not following the white line on this side of the road. I'm on the other side of the road, where there's a yellow line and a white line. I'm actually on that side of the white line. I'm driving like on the shoulder of the other side of the highway. And I... The kids are like, what's going on? Nothing. It's all fine. Give me that paddle. Give me those paddles because my heart would stop working. I was like, if we would have kept going, we just wouldn't run right off an edge. I was like, oh my gosh. So many times in life, it takes a bit of a wake-up call where we think we're going the right way. Think, oh, I got this together. It's all good. Then, oh my gosh. You're actually way out of line. You're way off kilter. You're not lined up with the Lord at all. You've been carrying something you're not supposed to, but it just becomes second nature now. It just becomes like you're like, this is just the way life is. It's not going to get any better. I'm not going to be able to fix it. I'm going to just drive my life like this now. Got to get right with the Lord. Got to get in line with him. It's so important to do. Philippians. Let's go to the New Testament just for one final thought, and then we'll wrap this baby up. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Wow. Just even reading that, it's like, wow, there's some times it's hard to rejoice, Lord. I didn't have a voice last week. I couldn't even rejoice out loud. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord's near. Okay, so don't be anxious about anything. Oh, like maybe one thing, Lord. Like, come on. Like, you see what I'm experiencing? Give me a break. Don't not be anxious about anything. But in everything and by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. In the peace of God, when we face these things, we turn to God so that we can find peace, which transcends our understanding. I don't even understand how that works, Lord. I like numbers. I like, you know, A equals, you know, B and 1 plus 1 equals. It doesn't make sense, Lord, when I have anxious and I'm worried, if I just turn to you, I will receive peace. And it will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus, because I can just stay stressed out. I can just stay worried. And that would be out of alignment with God's word. He doesn't want that for you. I need peace. I need clarity in my mind. So we have two choices. We can be in alignment with that, or we can just live our own lives in our own way. And you've lived that way. You've tried that way. It doesn't work super well. It's like when you go to a mechanic and you're like, look at these tires. These tires are shot. Look at the sidewalls. They're like, you know, they're going to blow a gasket. They're going to pop because they're so bald. And the mechanic will say to you, you don't need new tires. You need a wheel alignment because your wheels are out of alignment. That's why it's rubbing the whole side right off. And it's the same with you and I. You don't just put a nice little kind of put something on it to fix it. You got to go to the root problem. You got to get internally. You've got to fix what's wrong so you can face the right way. You can head the right direction. Because in life, when we go, hey, I'm worried and stressed out, and you don't, well, how did I get there? We got to get to the root of what got us there so that we can receive peace and we can receive freedom. We can receive a blessing from the Lord. That's really important for us to do. Hey, just one more story. I can't promise that, but anyways, we'll try. Okay, so the same school bus, when we bought it, there's a picture of it right here. So we were in Whitehorse, of course. Anytime I say there's a story, you can just say it was in Whitehorse, just go there. So we fly down to Vancouver, we buy the school bus, and we're driving it back from Vancouver. And of course, all of us in our wisdom are like, it's totally empty. What are we going to do with it? We've got to fill this thing up. So we actually stopped at Emmanuel Church, and it's in West Kelowna. They had bought new chairs just like us. And they had their older chairs like we have around this building. Like theirs were, you know, blue, ours are black. But we pulled into the church. Let's see how many chairs we can just ram in this bus. We're like, oh yeah, this thing's a bus, no problem, right? And then our church was kind of getting renovated and we had a foyer that was old and dirty and the carpet was stained. We're like, we need new flooring. It's way cheaper down here. So we pull up to, you know, a big Home Depot or something. And the guy asked us, we're like, we'll take a whole pallet of this flooring. And he's like, what kind of truck do you have? Because sometimes you put it in the back of a F something and it just blows the springs out. I pull up in the bus. He's like, oh, you'll be fine. No problem. You know, no worries. Doesn't even phase it, right? Fire all this flooring in. The bus is just getting heavier and heavier. We're going through Kelowna and we're like, there's a fruit stand right here. There's a whole skid of apples. You know what? If we bag up those apples and then we take it back to the church and we sell them, we'll make enough money to cover for all the diesel. Brilliant idea. We start bagging up all these apples. We fire it in. Let's go for lunch. So we pull up to this place. They're renovating the restaurant. So there's all these tables and chairs. I said, no way. No more. Yeah, stop it. I got to be able to sit in the bus, man. I don't want to be sitting on all this stuff. So the bus is just packed. But at some point, you have to say no, because it actually gets overloaded. And it gets so heavy that as you try and drive, it's like, whoa. You know, you get behind the wheel, something real heavy. It acts different. And it's so heavy that we're like, give us a lot of space in between us and the next vehicle, because the brakes, trying to slow it down because it's so heavy. Our lives are like that sometimes. We just keep adding stuff. Oh, just more and more. Oh, yes to everything. Woohoo! Yes. And then all of a sudden your life feels like you can't say no to something. Or you try and stop and slow down. It takes you so much longer to stop and slow down because you've got to put so much on yourself. And God is saying, don't do that. We've been learning our Bible study in the morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. We come here every morning, have a little Bible study. We're talking about Sabbath. To slow down, to find rest. That's peaceful. If we're so busy, we can't even have time to slow down and rest. You wonder why we are worried and we're fearful and we have anxiety in our lives. We've got to find rest. And God is trying to help us to understand. He wants you to understand that. Don't burden yourself. Overload yourself. Last week, I was able to say no. I said, you know what? I actually can't do my job. Actually, didn't even have a voice anyways. It would have been up here. I've been trying to sign language, you know, like, I don't know. It would have been terrible. And writing on a whiteboard, you know, what I wanted to say. How about I just, you know, hit play on something and I'll just read it out to you what I wanted to say. It would be terrible. So I said no. I didn't come to work. Somebody had emailed me. I don't know if you're here today. I apologize. But somebody asked me to do a funeral yesterday. And I was still not 100%. I just said, actually, I can't do that. You know, I already got so much on the go. And so it opened a door, though, for Pastor Ben to do, you know, the funeral. You know, great job. Thank you for taking that on. When we say no to something, sometimes it opens the door for somebody else to say yes. You don't need to do it all. But that's not a good excuse about like, well, I'm the one. I'm the lead pastor. I've got the most experience or whatever you want to say. Or, you know, they're my congregant member and I should be, you know, like, it's okay to say no. I think that's a hard thing for us to do, though, isn't it? So have permission to say no. Now, when I ask you next week to do something, don't you dare say no to me. I'm just edit that out later. I was just going to move on here. So again, don't worry about the kind of food and drink and clothing that you have, because God will take care of you. You don't need to be full of fear or, you know, be disappointed or intimidated, because God will set you free. We don't have to have a bunch of stress and anxiety in our lives, because God wants to give you peace and clarity. He wants to guard your heart and your mind. If we align to Him, if we feel these things, it's because we're out of alignment. Get back in alignment with God. Follow His word. Recapping the whole thing, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 4 and 5. Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I have just only presented to you the word of the Lord. I hope that it lands well. I hope that you receive it well. Let it speak to your dry bones, dead areas of your life. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will give them breath. They will enter them, and they will come to life. If there's an area in your life that feels dead and empty and hopeless, God can bring life to that area. God can restore that area. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That God's word alone has the authority to bring life to you. And so we just pray a blessing over you as we think about that. So let me just close in a prayer now together. So Father, I know that this word was from you. I know that as you spoke it to me at district conference a couple weeks ago, I knew that it would bring life to our church. I knew that it was going to be in season. I knew that we needed to hear it, because I sure needed to hear it. And so thank you for teaching our church. Thank you for equipping our church to be a church that is in line with you and your word and your truth. God, that's all we desire, is to be in obedience to your word. God, we want a church full of people that follow you and your ways alone. So help us to do that well, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.